But with a look at the week in news, Brett Worthington has all the latest hot off the press. Brett, we touched on some changes to the Nationals last week, but the federal government did the full reveal of a new ministry after that.
That's right. We've seen Barnaby Joyce become the Deputy Prime Minister. He did retain his agriculture and water portfolios. Some of the bigger changes that we saw was the Fiona Nash is the new Deputy Leader. She's a Senator from New South Wales. She's going to add regional development and communications to her existing roles, which was the Rural Health Minister. Also joining her is our Victorian National MP, Darren Chester. He's going to take on infrastructure and transport. He's a new face in the Cabinet, taking the roles that Warren Truss used to have. So obviously big shoes to fill there. Some interesting ones. Melbourne's Josh Frydenberg does remain the Minister for Northern Australia in the Cabinet. But we're seeing National Senator Matt Canavan also take on that role. And he's saying that in it, he's hoping to push the importance of water infrastructure, so things like dams, and being based in Rockhampton, he says, will be an asset for the role.
I think it doesn't hurt. I think it helps to have someone up here who can be based here and get around as much as possible. It's a big area. It's more than 40% of our land mass, but only about 6% of our people. So it takes a bit to get around. There's enormous opportunity here, though. It really is the frontier of our nation.
And, of course, that sort of secured the whole, another spot for the Nationals in the Cabinet. But some really interesting developments. We knew Andrew Robb was retiring and his replacement was announced.
That's right. So the Gold Coast Liberal MP Steve Chobo will take over trade. Mr Robb is going to hang around and serve as a special envoy for trade ahead of his retirement. So a couple of things that Mr Chobo said that he's focusing on is the much talked about Trans-Pacific Partnership. You might remember that's that large global trade deal. It's got 12 countries in it. It was agreed to last year, but now the respective parliaments are yet to ratify it. Mr Chobo saying he thinks that the US Congress will ultimately, despite all the talk that's going on over there, it will go through, and that beyond that he's looking to secure further trade deals with Indonesia, India and the European Union.
Well, we touched on Fiona Nash's enormous job of looking after regional everything, including, of course, prosperity and jobs, which have been an awfully mixed bag of late.
It's just been a shocker of a week for the steel mining sector. You've seen Anglo American announce that it's going to sell Queensland coal mines as part of a restructure. So the mines that they're selling are used to produce coal for steel. And they're saying that they're considering offloading even further mines in central Queensland. It's a part of a restructure. So the company is saying it's hoping to sell between $3 to $4 billion worth of assets this year. They've got big financial issues that they're trying to work through. So you're seeing that happen in Queensland, and then down in South Australia, the miner and steelmaker Arium says, well, the pressure's on the staff now to boost productivity if they're going to escape any job losses. That company posted a half-year loss of $236 million and says that it is at risk of having to halt operations if the Whyalla Steelworks cannot break even. So just as a bit of context, that steelworks it has more than 1,000 people that work there, and hundreds have already lost their jobs. That is, that the managing director has come out and said that more redundancies will potentially be possible.
There's always a number of levers that you can pull when you start looking at the cost. There's no doubt that labour is still a very significant part of our cost, and therefore it's one of the components that we will have to look at. But that's not the only component. There's a lot of cost that we incur in running a significant business like this.
That's Tian's Victor from Arium. Now, any suggestion that China and the downturn there is the sort of catalyst for all of this?
Essentially, it's what all eyes have been looking at. We've heard talk coming out about the Shenhua mine and what's happening there. Really, you're seeing major changes happening with the Chinese economy, and that is filtering through, and the Australian mining industry is just sitting back and watching to see what happens next, to work out what jobs there are in this space as they build their businesses to go forward the next 10 years or so.
And Brett, tell me, why should I care about the Eastern Young Cattle Indicator?
It's such an agronomic term,
oh,
isn't
yeah.
it? It's kind of, if you're a farmer, you'll know what that means. But essentially, it's your standard for what prices are doing. And so we've seen during the week on the East Coast, you've seen a spike in prices in Queensland and New South Wales. And so this EYCI, the Eastern Young Indicator, as it's called, it hit a new record. And they're saying it's a result of these sales. So great if you're offloading cattle. Obviously, terrible news if you are a processor. It means that when you're buying that meat, when that meat's coming through to you, it's obviously more expensive. So in this last week, we've seen JBS Australia stand down 118 staff at its South Australian abattoir at Bordertown. The company is going to process 3,000 less lambs per day. So we're talking about general red meats at the moment. And it says that it's all the result of this volatility that you're seeing. Tees Australia at Wagga Wagga, they announced job cuts and production cuts there. Chris Howie from Elders says that essentially what you're seeing is there's this greater competition happening in red meat markets, and that's putting extra pressure on these processors.
Not only is it more difficult to secure the end price, but they're also coming under pressure from other countries which are very quickly targeting markets to try and push their product into as well. And with the way the world's developing, redirection of commodities into new markets is happening very quickly these days.
So what's the industry trying to do to tackle this?
So one of the biggest sheep meat processors and exporters says that they're just trying to get as much control of the supply chain as possible. So Fletcher's International is planning on building a facility to house about 40,000 head of sheep. And they're saying if you can control more of that supply chain, then you can guarantee supply into these exporting countries, but then also ensure that you've got enough work going around the year.
Yeah, it's an interesting model. Certainly, it's what foreign investors are trying to do with Australian agriculture. Good news for avocado lovers.
If you love a bit of avocado, you might have noticed in a restaurant that there's a little price tag saying it's $2 extra for the price you would normally pay.
Yeah.
Supply is soon to be bolstered as the harvest gets underway in far north Queensland. That's where about a quarter of the nation's avocados are produced. Atherton Tableland Growers Association's David Adal says farmers have been patiently waiting for their fruit to ripen, with consumers paying up to $4 for each avocado.
I suppose I'd be telling a lie if I wasn't looking forward to it, but normally you're so busy that I've just got to worry about getting the fruit picked, getting the trees watered because the rain stopped. Then you've got to think about spraying the trees. And not only you got to do the harvest, but you've got to keep all the other things going at the same time.
Thanks, Brett.
Thank you.
We've got an excellent insight into where those regional job losses have occurred, by the way, over the last couple of months, online at abc.net.au/rural. You're on RN. This is A Country Breakfast. Let's join our rural reporters.